You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, make a difference for those in need here in Cleveland. Bring your non-perishable canned food items to the game this Sunday for the Cleveland Browns Food Drive. Volunteers will be at the First Energy Stadium gates collecting canned items and donations, and you can make a difference here in the great city of Cleveland. Want to hear from you? 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Still to come, Gerard Cherry will join us for his daily hit here on CBD. Vic, as I listened to the coach with you earlier here today, I'm struck by just how even keel Rob Chudzinski is. It does not matter what it, Mondays sound the same to me when you get him in here. He is consistent in that regard. I think that, you know, he knows that this team played better, but right. He doesn't care. He cares, but he wants to get victories and wants to do what he can to put this team in position to win what I think he knows is a winnable game against the Ravens.
Yeah, I think it's the most important characteristic that he brings to the table, especially with a team this young, a team still trying to figure itself out. We talked about the penalties. We've talked about the slow starts, the Sybil sort of personality disorder that this team has from one half to the next. But I think you have to have a head coach who maintains a solid foundation of calmness and not worrying too much about when things go wrong, and that it shows up on his face, shows up in his voice. When things go wrong, he says, we fix that. We've got to fix that. He talks about it very succinctly and matter-of-factly and addresses it accordingly. And I think the biggest difference than what this team had the previous 2 years, Pat Shurmur was much more of a reactionary kind of guy. He wore his heart and his emotions on his sleeve and in every other part of his attire. He was, you knew when he walks into that media room after a loss, and there were a lot of them, obviously, with only 9 wins in 2 years, where he was coming from. And it sent, I think, the wrong kind of body language to the entire team, because it became this sort of moody up and down thing. I think your head coach needs to show it, and it's more important that he does this in front of the players than he does in front of the media. But when you're in front of the media and the fans, you're also in front of your players.
You are, absolutely. That is a tool that coaches use to connect with their players. And I like that. I think as a Browns fan, you know that there is somebody here who's not going to get overreactionary, that's going to come to work every day with one goal, and that is to win and keep the same demeanor, same composure, and that kind of stability. I think when you really break it down, the guys in the NFL, the majority of them playing are in their 20s. These are young men. Mm-hmm. And to have that kind of stability at the top, I think, is a very good thing for the Cleveland Browns. We're going to go to the phones now, 216-578-0850. Again, yeah, get those growls and barks from the dog pound. Brock in Uniontown, welcome to CBD.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Two things. Whitaker, the only reason he's that wide open is because Josh Gordon completely cleared out the right-hand side.
Correct.
And speaking of your complimentary receivers that beat us, the little experiment should be over. And how do you guys assess how, I think, great our offense will be if we get a legit two? Thanks, guys.
That, to me, when I look at the Browns draft and the two picks in the first round, if I, Nathan Zagura, am the general manager and I'm able to get a quarterback without having to make a package of those picks, I want a quarterback and I want a receiver. That's what this team needs, one more receiver. And I agree with you. I think that there could be, obviously, some huge benefits from that. Because right now, you know, if you had Gordon, you had Cameron, and a third receiver the defense has had to worry about. Remember, Deion Lewis hopefully will be back next year and back where he was as kind of that air back to get into space. All of a sudden you're creating space, and you hit the nail on the head on that play. Josh Gordon and the threat of Josh Gordon created the space for Fozzie Whitaker. And if you could have one more receiver, Vic, offense could be very dangerous.
I don't think there's any doubt that this team goes into the draft, which looks like it could be a pretty receiver-rich draft. It might be more of a receiver-rich draft than a quarterback draft, frankly. I'm not overly impressed by what I'm seeing at this quarterback group and what is supposed to be this incredible quarterback class, but we'll see how that plays out. But as far as receivers go, yeah, they're going to find help there. They also need to find help on the offensive line. They also need to get some better run blockers in this group, because I think that's also the key. If you're not going to build, you don't build this offense around a back, and they're not going to invest in that kind of a running back. But if you want to have those complementary part backs, those guys who can do the things that we saw a Jamal Charles do, or even a Dexter McCluster do as receivers as well as runners, and that would be the Deion Lewis role. Another guy like that wouldn't hurt me to see that guy come into the fold. And then another changeup guy, the power guy we talk about. But all of those guys will thrive if you have an offensive line that gives you that push as well as the pass protection. This is a pass protecting based line. They're not those big mahonkers. They don't get a ton of push off the ball consistently enough, and that is a large part of the problem with the Browns' inconsistent running game.
And that is part of the problem, but I also think it establishes and would be easier with a second receiver and the ability to spread teams out with a viable threat. Because right now, if you're a defense, aren't you begging the Browns to throw the ball to Greg Little and Devon Bess? Isn't that what want? Isn't that what you're trying to... Whereas other teams against the Browns are using their secondary guys as the favorable matchups.
Yeah.
Defenses are saying, Browns,
they're lacking.
Throw it to your secondary guys all day long. That's what we want to see. Phil in Brecksville, welcome to CBD.
Thanks. You know, it's funny. Listening to that reporter for Kansas City on your show, he was awful cocky. And I'll tell you what, this team is going 10-6. And I've seen the West Coast offense. I remember Bill Walsh saying in an interview that the reason he created a West Coast offense because he had a quarterback that didn't have a strong arm and he had to find some way to move the ball. I'd rather have our offense with one wide receiver, no running back, than watch Alex Smith in this dink and dunk West Coast offense, which I think now, and I don't know what you guys think, I think it's a gimmick now. I think it's well past its time.
Phil, thanks for the call. I'm not ready to start throwing stones at what the Chiefs are doing, even though they got pushed by the brink by a lesser team, which is what the Browns were. The better team won that game. I think the Chiefs are a legit 8-0. I don't think it's a wobbly thing. I think they got there with, again, a very strong defense first, and Alex Smith is doing the job. He's heard this from a lot of people like yourself and other critics through his whole career, and all he's done is found ways to have success, and he's doing that now in Kansas City. It's a good match of quarterback and offense. It's more exciting to watch the bigger plays. Yeah, that's a lot more exciting, certainly, but not every team has that. Not every team is built like the Denver Broncos. Not every team is built like the New Orleans Saints and has that ability to hang those many points on you. And if you don't have Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning as your quarterback or Drew Brees as your quarterback with those types of receivers, you're likely not to have that success. So if you're looking for another way to have success offensively, and remember, that is not what the Chiefs are about. It's Alex Smith's best stat for the Chiefs is the four interceptions that he's thrown, is avoiding the picks. That's his best role to play when you can count on your defense and you can count on running backs who get the ball in space and make those plays that they've been making all year.
He's not asked to do those things.
Exactly.
He's a caretaker of that team. Give the ball to Jamal Charles, either hand it off to him, throw it to him, caretake the team, let the defense hold the other team down and score enough to win.
And that throw to Dexter McCluster was,
a great throw. Dexter makes a nice layout
for it, but that was on a dime, man. That was a nice throw. That, for a guy with the rag arm and all these things he's not supposed to have, he laid it out about as nicely as you could. But I want to give the receiver credit for laying out, but you couldn't have asked for a more on the money dart of a throw than that one.
People forget this is the guy who went toe to toe. I was at the game in San Francisco in the first round of the playoffs two years ago on the year that he took them to the NFC Championship game.
Right.
He went toe to toe with Drew Brees and won an absolute shootout where both teams were either in the high 30s or low 40s, and he won that game for them. So he can do it. Alex Smith is just fine.
I just can't dump on Alex Smith. No. I won't do that today. Even if it was frustrating to see the Browns lose a game that was winnable for them for things they did wrong, they weren't losing. They didn't have a chance to win that game because Alex Smith was screwing it up for the Chiefs, basically. I mean, that was not the story of that game.
I would have been happy if he wanted to. It would have been great.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got much more coming up. We're going to have a conversation with Gerard Cherry in a little bit. We want more of your calls, 216-578-0850. And at Browns_daily is another way to get with us. We'll dive into a topic that I think is going to be talked about as we go on through this week, what this Browns team is going to do with special teams. We've touched on it in a few places, but we've got to get into this and what the loss of Travis Benjamin really means to this club. That's ahead on CBD. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, ESPN 850 WKNR.
That was good.